Today's question is, what is a scriptural New Testament church? The word church is defined as a local, visible body of baptized believers who meet together to glorify the Lord and worship Him and to transact business between heaven and earth. The church is the people, not the building. So many times we drive down the road and people will say, "My, isn't that a beautiful church?" That's just the building. The people are actually supposed to be the church, and they are the church. The church is local, not universal. Too many people today believe in a universal church. There's no such word as a universal church because the definition itself, it says a local, visible body of baptized believers who meet together. For the church to meet together, they've got to be in a certain locale or a local church. Now, the church, there is a family of God. The man saved, he's in the family of God. But the local church is where we operate. It's a type of that that'll be real one day. The Lord wants His types perfect. For instance, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 23, it says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." People read that and they say, "Look at there, there's a universal church." No, that's still a local church. It's talking about all the saints of God when they're gathered there in heaven after the rapture. They'll be there at in a local, visible place when the Lord will gird Himself and serve us again one day and minister to us there at that time. So it'll still be a local, visible body of baptized believers who meet together to glorify the Lord and worship Him. And, of course, now the type of the local church is to transact business between heaven and earth. We realize something. Many people have a disagreement on as far as the church, when the church was started. But what does the Bible say? It's not what we think. And, by the way, you've got a right to disagree with us. In fact, we like your questions on these things because the Bible says you're noble to question in Acts 17:11. You're noble to question whether this be so or not. If we can't back up what we say with the Word of God, then it's no good. It's not what Dr. So-and-so says or somebody says. It's what God's Word says about something. So, when did the church start? Well, some say it started on the day of Pentecost. No, it started in Jesus' earthly ministry. In fact, He said in the book of Matthew 16, verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In other words, He's talking to Peter as a nucleus or as a spokesman of the New Testament church. Peter was always the one who spoke up. And He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, folks, He's not talking about Peter. The word Peter means Petros, but it really means a piece of the rock. And that's where all saints are a piece of the rock. Jesus is the rock, and He built the church upon Himself. And then verse number 19, He says there, "And I'll give unto thee," and it's not to Peter, but to the church, "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shalt be loosed in heaven." So we're to transact business between heaven and earth. It's a type of the real one day that'll be called out assembly there with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it started in Jesus' earthly ministry. You say, "That doesn't prove to me that that's during the earthly ministry of Jesus." Well, I've got a proof text of it. Whenever Paul wrote to the Corinthian saints, and he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles." There's a proof text to know that when God called the 12 and ordained them and sent them forth to preach, He set them first in the church. There's the beginning of the New Testament church. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't started. It was added to. You cannot add to something unless it's already started. And there was 3,000 added to the church that day. And so as a result, it was already started. Now, the church was empowered at Pentecost in its fullest with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, I know the apostles went out with all power. They cast out demons. Even Judas Iscariot did that, even though he wasn't a saved church member at that time. And that shows you that the New Testament local church today is full of tares and wheat. In fact, we've got more tares than we've got wheat in the local churches today because of our easy believism tactics, in which it's just say a prayer, repeat after me, and there's no work of the Holy Ghost done. And that creates much problem. No wonder we have so much problems in our churches today and many divisions and splits and arguments and fusses and whatnot. It's because, you see, God's sheep don't fight. And those saints of God will not They don't fight. Goats butt and fight, but the sheep do not. And so the New Testament church was started in Jesus' earthly ministry, is empowered as far as the indwelling spirit at Pentecost, even though she had power before. She'll be called out one day at the rapture, and all saints will be gathered and still be called a church there, and all be gathered together there in glory. Now, as we think about what is the New Testament, scriptural New Testament church, it's not just what hanging a sign up and calling it by some name. And by the way, I know I'm a Baptist by conviction, but I'll tell you, there's many Baptist churches today that's not scriptural New Testament church. First of all, the New Testament church must be able to trace what they teach and preach and practice back to the Lord Jesus, what He taught and practiced. It's not stopping with some man. It's going all the way back to the Lord Jesus, and that makes a scriptural New Testament church when you preach the true doctrines, the doctrine of truth, the doctrine of real salvation, and then practice that in your practice. Because if you practice something that's not really that you preach, really you've negated what you've said, and as a result, you really stand and your conviction is for what you practice. That's what it amounts to. And so as a result, the New Testament church must trace its lineage all the way back to the doctrine that the Lord Jesus taught. You say, but preacher, what's the name of it today? Well, I know in our society, whenever you see any kind of a film or any kind of a talk or a paper or any kind of a so-called show today, everything points to the so-called, they call it the church, and they're pointing to the Catholic Church. Folks, I want to tell you, the Catholic Church is not the scriptural New Testament church. They believe, they worship, they've got works instead of real truth. Listen, Jesus is not on the cross, hanging, crucified on the cross. He's at the right hand of the Father. And they portray Jesus as that, and they put Mary in front of that. And you realize back through the ages that the Catholic Church was had its beginning in 300 years after Christ's death. And Constantine's the beginning of that, in that sense there, as far as the what we know of today. And yet we come along through time, and today if you go get a job somewhere, what kind of, they ask you what affiliation are you as far as religion is concerned. They used to say, in America, they used to say Protestant or Catholic. They'll probably have to put Muslim there now, as many as moving is in our country today. They used to say Protestant and Catholic. Well, if I ever filled out an application, I'd not put Protestant. I'd not put Catholic because I'm not protesting the Catholic Church. The Protestants, for the majority, are those that are protesting the Catholic Church. And they moved out, such as your Lutheran and Methodist and whatnot. They are Protestants and they're protesting the Catholic Church because they found a point of disagreement and they moved out from the Catholic Church. And so, as a result, I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Baptist today. And I hesitate sometimes to even say that the way many Baptists are today, because we've been so diluted by tares and lost people through the easy believism tactics until that we've lost our identity, what we used to stand for back years ago. We are not Protestants, is what the old time religion we could say. In other words, we wasn't always called Baptists, but you go back and trace through a trail of blood that they show the martyrs of the New Testament church all the way from Jesus up through, of course, the disciples, early disciples, Polycarp, and on down we could go. They call them Waldenses and Polycarpists and different things, but all of those are nicknames. They were called Anabaptists because they wouldn't take the baptism that the Catholic Church had, which was unscriptural. And so as a result, they said, you're rebaptizers, and they nicknamed them by really a name that was to be a slur to them, Anabaptist. Not anti-Baptist, but Anabaptist means rebaptizers. Well, they wasn't rebaptizing. Man's never been baptized till he's been saved. And they were simply saying though that sprinkling that the Catholic Church does as a baby or whenever they do it in a confirmation time, whatever they do, is not scriptural. And so as a result, they were baptized after they were saved, and they called them a slur name and said, you're Anabaptist, you're rebaptizers. Well, later on, they shortened that name to Baptist and used that. It was still a name of more or less a downgrading them. And so, but I'm not ashamed of the name of Baptist. As far as the name, what it used to stand for, at least 150 years ago, we've left it as many people have left it today, But you say, well, which kind of Baptist? I know there's about 28 different kinds, used to be, and probably more than that today. But we are independent Baptists as far as we don't affiliate with any other Baptist church, just the head that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not one who makes that an issue. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I have no problem with them. The Southern Baptist and the independent is not the issue. The issue is the truth of real salvation that we need to stand for. In fact, if I'm starting another church, and I'm saying, well, I don't start anything, the Lord has to, but if the Lord led me to be a part in where He birthed a new church in His mind and His heart, and that I would not want to identify with either the independent movement or the Southern Baptist movement because of the failure to stand for the truth of real salvation in both of those, I would call it a dependent Baptist church, dependent upon the Holy Ghost of God, and that's what we must do. Because if He doesn't do His work in your heart, you'll never be saved. And you can be baptized in every church and until every tadpole knows your social security number and still be lost and die and go to hell if you hadn't had a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction done. And the Lord brought you to the end of yourself in all three areas of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. If that hasn't happened, then you're not saved. You can, and by the way, we've got a movement today who believe in the local church, and I'm a local church man. There is no other such animal, so as to say. But they're worshiping the local church instead of the God of the local church. Folks, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to get in the middle of the road and do and be what the Lord would have us to be for His honor and His glory. And so therefore, we must identify with the Lord's New Testament church, and that's one who preaches the truth about real salvation, the truth of the doctrines of Christ. It's not getting off on some issue, but standing for the truth. And the door to that New Testament church is baptism. That's the door that leads into the church. And so therefore, what is a scriptural New Testament church? We define it as a people, not the building, but it's a local, visible body of baptized believers who meet together to glorify the Lord and transact business between heaven and earth. And that's what we need to be identified today with, is God's local church. The Lord Jesus Christ built up on Himself in His ministry and empowered with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and has perpetuity all through the ages until today, and there's still it's operating today, the local New Testament church. That's the scriptural church that stands for the truth of God's Word. I pray that the Lord will help you understand these. I want to tell you I love you today. I want to tell you we care about you, and pray that you'll send your questions to us, that we'll be able to answer them on this broadcast. May the Lord help us. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.